based on the novel by Stephen King.
Do you feel like you're getting better and better, and it's easier and easier to do all this stuff?
Yeah.
Editing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Good. This will be up tonight.
We still need to find somebody else.
A volunteer?
Just somebody who's like, okay, here's our criteria for our producer / intern.
Until I hear it, it's your criteria.
Well, here's my criteria. Okay. Likes to work for nothing. Harder than we do, first of all.
Okay.
Has the same sense of humor as us.
Right.
Knows his or her way around a computer.
Okay.
Has a vast knowledge of movie and movie set related comical situations.
Okay.
Is good looking. Clean. I don't know. I'll take anybody, man.
Good sense of fashion.
Good sense of fashion. Nice teeth.
Independently wealthy.
Yeah. Knows about stocks, but doesn't talk about them ever. Because, God, I hate people who talk about stocks.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
And this is the Props Cast.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. It's good to be back.
It really is. We feel like we've been away from the mics.
Well, we have been. The exception of our last episode. And thank you so much for everyone who listened.
It was a real hit.
Yeah.
People loved it.
Yeah, I'm glad they did. It was a lot of work.
I know it was.
It was great, though.
It was great.
I'm pretty proud of it.
So for everyone out there who has heard it or not, we can't change our podcast into a weekly version of that.
Yeah. That took us probably over a month to do that episode.
And Clayton did a lot, like, did all of the editing and all the tech stuff. But we both wrote it.
We did 4 different recording sessions, I think.
And it was a
lot. To get it all put together.
And then even when you were doing it, I was somewhere else thinking about how you were doing it. I was like, oh God, Clayton's fucking probably sitting over, hunched over the laptop with a fucking penny royal tea.
I was.
Yeah, you were.
I was. No,
it's hard, man. It's hard to do that.
It was good. And it was awesome that we had, like, Maddie came in the studio.
Yeah, that was nice.
But then we had Kim, Sandeep, Ellie, and Ian
all distant,
recorded their stuff at their own places and sent it in, which worked really well.
We could just do that, you know, just have a new format where people just call us. We could try that.
We could.
The distance guests, right?
Yeah.
Might work.
Well, maybe next episode.
Maybe, bro. I'm excited.
Dude, should we get right into it? I feel like we have so much to talk about.
Do we? You don't want to do seeing anything.
Well, I wrote some down.
You've seen... Here's the problem with our seen anything segment right now.
I've seen everything.
You've seen fucking everything. Hey, Clayton, seen everything lately? And you're like, well, let me tell you about it, actually.
But there's still gaps. Because I still got... You haven't seen Flashdance?
You haven't?
No. No. I watched... Dude,
that's okay. Flashdance is... Okay.
I watched Footloose last month. Yeah, that was my 80s dance movie for July.
We talked about that on...
So
on
I'll make here. Flashdance my 80s dance movie for August.
Oh.
That's fair, right?
Yeah. Flashdance, I wouldn't put in the same category a lot, but that's just me. That's just me.
But it's famous.
It is famous. Absolutely.
The water on the chair, I know that.
Yep.
Right? That's that movie, right?
That movie, yeah. When she pulls the thing and the fucking water comes down.
Have you seen anything? Anything? You watched Titanic.
Yeah.
But not the end.
No. I'm the worst for Netflix for that.
Is that on Netflix?
Well, yeah. And do you do that on Netflix where you watch half something and you're like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to watch YouTube videos now and just turn it off.
There were a couple movies that I turned
just
off.
Bail on.
Yeah, I
just
bailed bail. On.
People do that. They watch like 10 minutes of something. Especially Netflix, because a lot of their stuff is terrible.
Yeah, right? I honestly feel like Netflix in the States is way better.
I bet it is.
I think they have tons of stuff. Here.
Yeah, why? And why is that?
What's the story? What is all of this stuff?
Like, what's the licensing agreements? And they don't have to have Canadian content, obviously. Are there going to be like 6 things on there?
No, because they're not controlled by CRT. TC because they because they're not broadcasting,
right?
Streaming.
I mean, there must be a whole new literature for for their.
That's probably why it's like, I don't know. God,
what is it like Netflix for Sri Lanka? You know what I mean? Is it a whole different fucking thing? Do they have a person working for them for every country? Probably.
Yeah, they do. I think they do. It has to be different for each country.
It's kind of ridiculous, eh? Just show the fucking movies. Not
lots of work for copyright lawyers, though.
Well, I told you about that guy, that friend of mine that was asking me about if I was going back to work. And
yeah.
He's like, are you going back to work soon? I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, good, good, good. Because I feel like there's not a lot of content out there. He was so dead serious about it. I thought he was asking me about my well-being.
Yeah.
My financial
like
well-being.
Your livelihood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just worried about running out of things to watch. Like,
I've watched all of Friends. Dude, I've seen The Office 3 times over.
What a con... Oh, The Office, fuck. I've watched the final episode of it. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen
it. I did not know it ended like that, with that whole...
Where they make it as a... They show the documentary, finally, after...
It felt like 30 80s movies endings mushed into one episode of television or something. Like, it was a lot. Like, there was a lot going on there.
Speaking of 80s movies endings...
Yeah.
Not to derail seeing anything lately.
No, no.
But kind of tied into that. I've watched some 80s movies where the endings, I'm like, that's the end?
Yeah. And you're disappointed.
Yeah.
Was it's one like, of them Footloose?
No.
No way, man!
No. Actually, no. The ending of Footloose is pretty bad. Because remember we talked about it.
I know, but it's fucking awesome, though.
He runs down the stairs. He's like, let's...
Yeah!
What does he say?
He says, this is a party!
It's a party!
And then throws the confetti.
And then, no, it's glitter.
He throws the glitter.
No, he doesn't throw it. It just falls from the ceiling.
It falls from the ceiling.
From the basement of the rec center.
Are you sure he doesn't throw a handful of it?
He might.
Maybe in my dreams
in that red suit.
Dude, Kevin Bacon, come on. Burgundy suit. That's an upcomer episode, Kevin.
Yeah, we got to do that one soon.
Kevin Swayze.
I still have research to do.
Yeah, we do. Okay, so I watched Titanic for the first time, everybody. You know what? Not really that impressed. Sorry. Here's why. Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, they could never have done all that shit in that cold water. Sorry, but I've been in water that cold. I've been in that fucking part of the world too. Like, I went swimming in New Brunswick last year, which is a stone's throw away from the Titanic crash site. Probably not.
A bit more, but yeah.
But the Titanic would have been colder, especially that time of the year, dude. Uh-huh. It's fucking freezing, that water. There's no way they could have went around.
Don't talk
water.
To me like I'm arguing with you about it.
But you just think I should suspend my disbelief.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Also, in 1912, though, global waters were much warmer. No, I'm just kidding.
They weren't.
I'm kidding.
Okay, but here's the other part. Billy Zane, terrible. Oh, my God. Kathy Bates, great.
Yeah, always.
Always, man.
Yeah.
The mom, Kate Winslet's mom, so painful to watch.
I don't remember that character.
Too much. She took it too far. Mm. And I feel like Leo, again, looks smaller and way younger than Kate Winslet. I love Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
In that movie, he looks like he's 15 and Kate Winslet looks like she's 25. Also, she's bigger than him. And I'm not saying that like in a weight, but she's just...
Like she's taller.
She looks older. Like,
yeah. Because he looks like little.
A child.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sorry to say, but he only started looking normal when he was like 33.
Yeah.
Leonardo.
Yeah.
As much as we loved him and all his roles, it was hard to buy him for a lot of stuff for a while, wasn't it?
He's in his heyday now because he finally looks
exactly
like
dude.
A grown up
35-year-old man.
Like he's gone through puberty.
Like I thought in The Aviator was the first time where I was like,
yeah,
okay, I can
was.
Believe that he's
totally
a man now.
Yeah.
But anything before that, I just thought he was like a teen.
Yeah.
So when they catch me if you can, you believed it because
he
was a teen.
He starts as a teen.
Exactly.
So it was the perfect casting choice.
Exactly. So also last night I watched Jurassic Park and what I didn't realize epic. About that movie, fucking epic movie, what I didn't realize about it is that shit goes wrong in that real fast, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Like
in the cold opening, shit goes wrong.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
They're already being like, this park is a disaster, just so you know.
Just
that's
waiting
to happen. That's the plot of the movie.
And it's kind of rad though, right? Because you're like, oh, when they see the big dinosaurs at first, you're like, oh, they're so...
Brachiosaurus.
Amazed, Brachiosaurus, they're so amazed. And obviously they would be because they're paleontologists, and but you go on with that, then all of a sudden it's like shit just starts fucking, the pieces just start falling down one by one, man. And then it's just nonstop.
Everyone's leaving the island. Storm's coming.
Newman.
Newman's sabotaging everything. Dude. This hacker crap.
Oh, it was great.
But that movie holds up because I watched it again recently as well. It
totally holds up. Totally 100% holds
up. It'll always hold up. That scene where the T-Rex breaks through the fence and it walks between the two cars, that shot is probably going to be the best CGI ever in the history of everything.
You think that's peak CGI?
That shot, like they put so much effort in because that's the first time you really see this, the T-Rex, which is like the star of the show. And it's so amazing.
It is.
And I watch, I'm like, that was 1993.
It was. I remember seeing
the
theater.
And it's better than the CGI in the Marvel movies.
I remember seeing the theater. Oh, dude, that's not even, I think we should.
Hands down.
What? Elena.
Yeah.
One of our beloved friends and listeners.
Yes.
She had a post that the other day. It was like, there hasn't been a Marvel movie in 10 months or something. And finally, cinema is returning to its natural or something
Yeah.
Fuck, it was so fucking funny.
I saw that post too.
I laughed my ass
off. Cinema's healing.
Yeah, cinema's healing, exactly.
It's true.
I hate it so much, dude. It's true. I hate it. Although, I'll say that, and then I'll go see one of them with Kat, and I'll be like, you know what? I actually enjoyed that.
Well, I tried. Did I tell you that I tried watching, Thor, Ragnarok. Oh,
yeah, so did I. Terrible.
Hated it.
Boring. Terrible and boring.
Hated it.
And I love Taika Waititi. Love him.
I love him. Not only did he direct it, but he's in it as the voice of the rock guy.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is in it. Tessa Thompson's in it. Tom Hiddleston, I like.
Exactly.
Benedict Cumberbatch is in there as Doctor Strange, which I've never seen. And
Chris Hemsworth's even all right.
Yeah, I like him too. And that's the thing. I'm like, these movies have sucked up all these actors and they're like,
they're terrible.
Yeah,
and the critics loved Ragnarok. Critics loved it.
I mean, the design of it was really cool. Like when they're on that planet and everything's those like weird colors, and I was like, it looks good. Oh, and Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I'm like, God, let these actors go do some real movies.
Let them heal.
Let them heal.
Okay, you want to name a couple that you've seen?
I watched Perfume.
Oh.
We talked about it, but not on the show.
Now, that's a movie.
Perfume, Story of a Murderer, starring Ben Whishaw, also starring the late Alan Rickman and Dustin Hoffman, who hasn't passed away, but I should have named him first. That's a great movie. It's such a weird, I love movies like that because it's a big budget movie, totally off the mainstream path.
Usually,
you don't get those a lot.
For everyone out there, for all of our listeners, when we talk about the movies, seen anything lately, or even all the ones we're going to talk about today, a lot of them are our suggestions. We would never really talk about something and say we liked it unless we didn't want you to see it, right?
Yeah. But having
you
said...
You had doubt in that?
No. Having said, there was another thing I wanted to talk about because I watched also Black Swan.
Oh.
You haven't seen
I've never
right?
seen it.
So I've been putting it off because I wanted to see it when it came out because I like Natalie Portman.
And same. And I like Aronofsky too.
And I didn't see it because several people told me it wasn't good.
Really?
And I believed them.
Oh, really?
And then I watched it and I was mad because I think it's a fucking masterpiece.
Really?
Yeah.
I better watch it
too. I think. That's my opinion. But it made me think about how this whole show is about us talking about movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really take it with a grain of salt. If you want to go see a movie, go see a movie. Because everyone's going to have a different opinion. That's just true. I just want to put that out there. Because even if we say that movie's bad, we didn't like it, maybe you will.
I believe that if we say it's good,
it is good. Like the Marvel movies. I mean,
fuck the Marvel movies.
Everybody loves them, though, except for us.
Fuck those people.
But Perfume, Story of a Murderer is fantastic. Who is the director of that?
Fuck, it's old too, man.
Like, yeah,
I'm pretty sure I rented that on DVD.
I was going to say 2013, but I think it's even earlier than that.
I had what a difference, you know? Blockbuster, man. Rented that shit. Pretty sure. It's not 2015, dude.
2006.
No.
2006.
Oh, 6.
No, I almost said 16, but 2006.
I was like, That's interesting. I think I have Alzheimer's.
So that's 14 years ago.
Yeah, dude. The heyday, bro.
I just, like, it boggles my mind when these, when I see these movies, I'm like, that was 2006? Like, yeah. I was in film school at that time, and I had never heard of it.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? And I'm like,
that's, well, because shit comes out, man.
It's not like it's a $2 million picture.
What, like, do you think it's going to be like 15 years from now? Because when movies come out and you don't hear about them, are they just gone forever? Like the Netflix movies that come out? How will you ever hear about them?
It's a quagmire out there trying to find content.
But once things are kind of come and gone, like, they're just gone. And unless you are like us and you look up stuff online.
That's the thing, right?
Are you ever going to hear about them?
That's, imagine how many movies from the 70s and 80s have gone.
That's maybe what our totally podcast AWOL. Should be, is just
digging them up.
Just digging up fucking.
Exhuming the graveyard of forgotten cinema.
Exactly.
I just wrote the tagline.
And we'll call it.
It's a bit morbid, but.
Grave diggers. Grave diggers. No, that's already taken. It's a rap group from the 90s. And they probably wouldn't like it if we did that. But what else? Story of a perfume. Yeah. Story of a murder.
Black Swan.
Black Swan.
I watched this movie. Speaking of old movies that are making a comeback, there's this Russian movie from the 80s called Come and See.
Oh.
And it's I don't know why, but it's having a major resurgence. It got re-released on DVD and Blu-ray. It's a war movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it is exhaustingly good.
Really?
It's like, it leaves you thinking about some shit.
It's all subtitles.
But they played it at the Rio last week.
Oh, really?
I'm like,
why is it making this comeback?
I don't know. I think maybe that they found the old print and, like, restored it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
They're like, what's this? And they
were
like,
what is?
I shouldn't try a Russian accent at this time of day.
We must re-release this movie.
In this heat.
It's hot in here. I'm so sorry.
Speaking of exhausting movies, another quick one that I did see lately, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Oh, so exhausting. Have you seen that
thing? I just watched it.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Were you exhausted?
I thought you'd seen it already.
I had, and I watched it again.
Oh, yeah, I was exhausted.
Dude, it's so good, man. That movie.
That's Scorsese, though. He's just like, I want to take the audience, and I just want to wring him out of and all energy. Just,
why is he so good at storytelling?
Just relentless.
What is it about him?
I don't know.
Like, Jonah Hill in that is just unbelievable.
His weird teeth.
He's got that tooth extension. Rob Reiner as his dad, as Jordan Belfort's dad.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so good. He's so good. That part when he's watching The Equalizer.
And phone rings.
And the phone rings. Dude, that part, and then the part when they're talking about their expenses.
Yeah.
And they're just having to, and he's getting so mad. Rob Reiner is such a fucking good actor. It's just, anyways, we're talking about continuity about that movie too. There's some major continuity mistakes in that movie. Little things that only props nerds like me and Clayton would notice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or people like my mom.
Oh yeah. Your mom looks for that stuff.
No, she just sees it.
She says that, but I think she looks for it. Or maybe that's just how her brain works.
Yeah. Maybe.
Does she like to do like puzzles and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Does she like to do those continuity puzzles where one thing's different, one thing's not.
Yeah, the two images. I don't know. Maybe she does.
Oh, dude.
Should we get into the topic?
I think we should, God. Dude.
We're so out of practice.
We've already exhausted ourselves.
Today we're talking about Stephen King movies. So.
And books.
Yeah.
And movies.
But mostly the
television.
Mostly the movies and TV that have been adapted from his written works.
And you know what? I feel like I'm just going to say to everybody, we're not Stephen King enthusiasts.
No.
We're not experts on the situation. We're just going to name some of the movies that we know and love and talk about them a bit. We're probably going to leave out a whole, because he's so vast.
There's tons.
And he's such a titan of film, television, and books, and pop culture.
Yeah.
We're going to leave out a lot.
Tons.
And we're just gonna, you know, so if you're out there and you're like, I can't believe they didn't talk about Pet Sematary 2, blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Save it.
Save it for another show, okay? Or come on the podcast and talk about it with us. This could be a two-parter, for sure.
It would be really awesome if we talked about absolutely everything except for The Shining. So I think that going gets enough attention, don't you think?
You know what? You know what? I didn't really like The Shining that much. I actually didn't like it at all. Could you imagine saying that?
Yeah.
People's heads would explode.
Well, that's another one that I didn't watch it for a long time because everyone was like, it's so scary. It's so scary. Yeah. I'm like, it's not that scary.
Guess what? Okay, well, let's start off the podcast by saying this. Interesting tidbit. Let's talk about The Shining. Stephen King didn't like it.
The movie.
He did not like the movie.
Oh, well, you've seen Room 237, right?
I have,
yeah. They had a whole big war, Kubrick and him.
Exactly. Because he thought that he was making Shelley Long's character, I can't remember her character name in the movie, god damn it.
Well, we're bad at this. It's Jack Torrance and
Danny Torrance. I can remember the little kid.
Yeah.
His Danny. Secret friend. No, but what was his secret friend's name? I can't remember.
Wendy was her name.
Wendy Torrance. He thought, Stephen King thought Kubrick was making her too hysterical and too...
Yeah.
Can you believe that? On average, King only, for his first few movies, he only got paid like $50,000 to have it adapted.
Hmm.
Obviously, that sum became larger as years went by,
yeah.
But... His first movie that he ever had adapted was Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, whoa, really? I thought there was one before that, but it actually was.
I think that was his first novel.
It was one of his first novels. I think it was his third.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
God, we don't know fucking anything. I don't know
but
anything.
But why? We don't have to, man. This is an explorative.
Okay. People are like, well, actually.
Nobody knows, unless you're like a diehard. And I already said, we're not diehard. But we know and love his movies,
yeah.
The ones that we do know and love, and we want people to have some discovery with them, right?
Right.
Because okay. Now is the time, because everyone's out of content, so maybe dial it back a few years and watch some fucking Stephen King movies.
Yeah, if you're complaining about lack of content, like...
Just got to dig a little deeper.
There's 100 years of film...
Exactly.
...available to watch.
And not everything has to be Friends... Modern Family.
Sorry, Captain America can't be in everything.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if he was in everything?
Like Chris Evans asked, and they just implanted him in like Casablanca.
Oh, God. I don't mind him, actually.
No, he's great.
Okay, but The Shining. The Shining as a film. What did you think?
I liked it. I like Kubrick. Yeah, it had a good mood, you know? Like, when people are like, oh, it's so scary. To me, when people say it's so scary, it means people are jumping out of doors.
Jump scares.
Jumps. I fucking hate jump scares.
Do you?
Yeah.
They get to you.
They're the worst. It's so cheap. It's so easy to do. And the whole, like...
Some people are really good at it.
The whole, like, the bathroom mirror one, that trope.
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be a reflection in the mirror, and then there isn't. And but then it's over
comes
here.
Back. It's like, James Wan is pretty good.
Stop that. But The Shining.
Is that what you say when you're watching it?
Yeah. The Shining has the.
It's just scary.
It just has an overall like tense mood, which I like as a scary right. thing. Like I like movies that are like that where you're like, ooh, creepy. You know, like you get the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
That I like.
Totally fucking creepy. I thought it was creepy. I've seen it probably 4 or 5 times. And each time I'm like, yeah, that is fucked up. Like it is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's partly to do with a lot of things have a their place in that movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The set, the acting, the Shining thing itself, the mm-hmm. talking, right? And things to me were scarier in the 70s. We've actually talked about this before.
Yeah.
Things were freakier back then.
Freaky.
The architecture, the yeah. colors they use.
Yeah.
The hair. The sideburns. I'm dead serious. I know it sounds funny, but like brown walls freak me out.
There's so much brown in the 70s.
Dude, it's too much. General. It's too much. And the thick carpets.
Brown and tan. And
orange.
Yeah, that burnt orange.
Yeah, dude. Puce. That was another one.
Puce?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know that
That's
one.
Like a green. It's like oh, a yeah. 70s green.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like a mustard. I don't know. Yeah. Anybody knows what puce is, write us at propscast.com.
Okay, Shining, great. A+.
A+.
I think it's probably his best. Most famous?
No? Yeah, it probably is the most famous, I guess, isn't it? It's so hard because there's so many.
Right.
Right? And then you can switch genres too. I bet.
What do you mean?
Well, because like Stand By Me isn't a fucking horror movie.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mean? Yeah.
Nor is The Green Mile.
Right.
So.
Shawshank.
Exactly, dude.
That might be the best.
That might be the most popular one.
Which was, and it was a total flop at the box office.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you've told me that once.
Because of the title, I think.
Well, good thing they didn't call
it Rita
Hayworth.
Maybe I shouldn't say a flop, but I don't think it made much money.
Really?
It only got popular years after, like on rentals.
It must have made money now, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like in the top 10 of every list of...
The royalty checks must be like fucking rolling
Godfather
in.
Godfather and...
At all times. Okay, well, let's talk about that for 2 seconds.
I love that movie.
Yeah, so do I.
I watched that. I rented that from Blockbuster on VHS.
Of course you did.
And we watched it. And then when it ended, we stopped it, rewound it, and watched it again. Like, immediately.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have the little...
I'd never seen... When was that? Like, 94 that came out? So it would have been 95-ish when we watched it on VHS.
I think it was like 93.
Yeah.
92.
So I'm probably like 12, 13. I'd never seen a movie like that before.
I think you were younger than that, but...
The storytelling, you know?
Dude, the storytelling, the period, the acting... Because Stephen King's stories are so... The base of them is so solid and interesting. Mm-hmm. And things just don't come out of fucking nowhere for no reason. Like, everything has a backstory in the book.
Yeah.
And I feel like they always translate that into the
scripts. Well, they try.
They try. Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes you're like, oh, you can totally tell.
I think Shawshank did a great job.
Yeah, they did, dude.
I don't know if it's because they used Morgan Freeman's silky voice as a voiceover.
As the narrative, yeah.
As like expository. That helped.
It's always good in those kind of movies to have a narrative, I think.
You know, that's like
frowned. Jail movies. Because you're like, oh, okay, that's how that worked.
It's frowned upon, though, in cinema.
I don't care. Because most of my favorite movies have it. Call me dumb.
I don't think anything about being dumb. I think it's just like, it's...
I like it.
It's just a very easy way to tell
the fucking story.
Yeah, to add extra information that you can.
But don't you like talk? It makes me learn. It feels like I'm learning.
It depends.
Goodfellas, Casino.
Yeah.
All had it.
Casino had it too?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Casino had it. Yeah, of course.
I need to watch those two. I get those mixed up.
We're going to do that. Come up.
Casino, Goodfellas.
Gangster movies.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll pick like Scarface.
Gangster Squad. Dick Tracy.
Yes. Maybe not.
I'm trying to pick the dumb ones that I know.
Dick Tracy was good. It wasn't terrible.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I love Dick Tracy.
There were a lot of people in that movie.
Okay, did you know?
Is this trivia time?
No, not yet. We're doing a trivia section later. Okay, so Shawshank, obviously, it's considered one on a lot of lists.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That and Pulp Fiction.
Okay. Is it?
And that one with Johnny Depp that we watched over the... Oh, I can't remember what was that one called? The terrible one. I was trying to make a joke and it didn't work because I can't remember the fucking name of the movie.
London Fields?
London Fields!
I forgot Johnny Depp was even in that.
Yeah, I'm like, that one with Johnny Depp, you're like, yo... Okay, did you know that The Running Man was fucking... Okay, dude.
Yes, and I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, we don't have to talk about it that hard.
But I'm well aware of it.
I thought it was Ray Bradbury.
Okay, well, here's my... I'm going to give you my first trivia question because it pertains to that.
Oh, okay. Let's get into it.
What was Stephen King's pseudonym, his alternate name?
Oh, fuck.
Was it A, Scott Walker... B, Richard Bachman, or C, Philip Freeman?
It's not Scott Walker, I know that. But I think it's hilarious that you did a throwback for that. What was that again? What was the Scott Walker bit from?
It was like Star Wars.
Yeah, Scott.
Rise of Scott Walker.
Rise of Scott Walker. Fuck, man. I'm going to say B, Richard Bachman.
Correct.
Nice.
So he wrote The Running Man under that name.
Did he?
But he hadn't revealed that was him. So that movie is credited as written by Richard Bachman.
Oh.
So nowhere in the, if you watch the movie, nowhere in there, maybe they've updated it, but when they released it, it never said Stephen King anywhere on it, even on the poster or anything.
It's great.
Because he had that pseudonym when he was getting all the success. He's like, am I really a good writer or what's going on here? So he started writing under this pseudonym and the sales were the same.
Dude, that's awesome.
So there you go.
That's fucking rad.
There's a little tidbit for The Running Man.
Because, I don't know, but that's amazing because Stephen King.
So Arnold never knew.
So much shit. Arnold. I'm the running man now. Dude, I thought I was Ray Bradbury. Fuck, for like my whole life.
Nope.
Do you like Ray Bradbury?
I've never read any of his books.
They're quite good.
The Illustrated Man.
His short stories, The Veldt.
Oh, I have read The Veldt. Is that the one where they...
The little kids. It's like a little holodeck.
The holodeck of, and the lions, and they get the lions to eat the parents.
Yeah, and spoilers. Get this for a fucking tidbit. My dad worked on a show in the 80s called the Ray Bradbury Theater.
Of course.
Kind of like a, you know, like a Twilight Zone type show. And one of the episodes they did was The Veldt. So he had to do that.
We read that story in school and I loved it.
Okay. It was fucking great shit. But anyways, actually now this is a Ray Bradbury episode. Stephen King's listening to this like, what the fuck, guys? Yeah. I thought it was about me. Okay, here's a little tidbit since we're doing trivia.
Okay.
We're going to do trivia tidbits here and there. Plus, we're going to do little tidbits of Stephen King facts. Okay. He was addicted to cocaine.
Yeah.
For a while.
Mm-hmm.
And booze. And he was drinking so much and doing so much coke that he had to get clean, which is awesome, as we all know. But the funniest part, I'm sorry for laughing, but to me, it's just so funny to imagine him doing huge amounts of cocaine and writing. I don't know why, but it is.
Okay.
It just makes me laugh. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at it. But it's so funny just to imagine him just doing huge bumps of coke and just sitting at a typewriter
just slamming
and
just those.
Fucking, he said he can't even remember writing Cujo.
That was one of my trivia questions.
Oh, really?
Because remember when we were coming up with this idea, yes. You're like, do you think he ever forgot about writing a book? And then yes. I looked it up later. I'm like, he did. Cujo.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that.
He said later on that he regrets not being able to remember writing like the best parts of the book.
Cujo is totally a coked up book, though.
Cujo is good, too.
Starring
Scott Walker.
Scott Walker as Cujo.
As the voice of Cujo.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a quick Stephen King, and this will segue us into our next Stephen King movie.
Okay, great.
Okay. In the movie Misery,
which I just watched,
what was the ritual that the character Paul Sheldon does when he completes writing a manuscript?
He smokes one cigarette.
You did watch it, Clint.
Yeah, because he quit smoking, but he allows himself one cigarette when he finishes
When he finishes book. Each book.
Yeah.
Now, Misery.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think?
Great.
Wasn't it so good,
Fantastic.
Dude?
Fantastic.
Wasn't it just so That's fucking
a,
good?
It's a movie I've known about for a long time, and I kind of knew the plot, but man...
Simple story.
Like you could shoot that today. You could do a stage play.
That's a perfect COVID movie. You could do a play. That would be a great fucking
play. It would all be in that room.
You could even do the exterior scene with the car. You just have him like sitting on a chair and then there's three empty chairs beside him.
And then some stage hands wearing all black, like pick them up and.
Exactly. Just topple them. They throw a handful of snow. You're like, oh, I get it. It's the car crash. Me and Clayton should produce plays. Anyway.
Okay, Kathy Bates. Wow.
Oh, dude.
Wow. Like,
she's such a fucking force.
Because that is not an easy role.
No.
Because she's like bipolar, so she's up and down. Like,
especially for the time. That right? was like unheard of, like that kind of a story.
She's
Nobody
like,
heard that story.
You know, Nurse Nightingale. Oh. And then suddenly she's like,
I feel raging. Like. What I liked about that movie too is, and looking back at it, I feel like back then people were a little bit crazier. Like now we think people are fanatical because of the internet and they have their voice and everything. But back then people were fanatical about certain things.
They just didn't have
the outlet
and
the connections to people. Right.
Cause
like now you can comment, like you can follow somebody on Instagram. You can comment on some shit they did and they might even comment you back.
Yeah.
They might even read it. You don't know. Right.
Yeah.
But back then it was like you wrote fan mail. Probably didn't. Yeah. Read, especially a guy like Paul Sheldon. Right. He's not reading fan mail. What was the book called that he wrote? What was the character?
Misery.
Misery. But what was the person's name? Was that their name in it?
Yeah.
Their name was Misery.
Yeah. And all the book titles were like Misery.
Oh, right.
Continued. Yeah, so Misery. Long. I don't know. Whatever.
It's been so long, dude.
Yeah.
Man.
And then she named her, she had a pet pig that she named Misery after the character in the books.
Right. And then he had that manuscript when he was in the accident, right? So
yeah.
He goes to her house. He has a satchel.
He just finished writing it at the cabin or at the hotel. And he's on his way
back.
On
his way to like deliver it to the publisher.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's funny how I honestly haven't seen that in 25 years, but I remember everything. I mean, besides the character names and stuff like that.
Again.
But I remember it.
It's kind of like we were talking about during the quarantine when we were reviewing movies. Like, I mean, at the time, what was that, 1990? They didn't have like the pinnacle equipment that we'd have now, but I think that it was just a really well shot movie.
Yeah.
Like there's a montage where she's going to make him write a new book. So he's sitting at the window with the typewriter and the camera's doing this like slow dolly and they're sort of fading into different scenes, but they're matching the position of the camera. And I was like, you know, for the time that was really well thought out, you know, and like it's snowing and then it's nighttime and then it's the next day and she's in the room and then
it's
she's
like dissolving
not.
Itself.
Yeah. And Liberace's playing.
Mm.
And then, you know, it's like the piano and he's hitting the keys like as if he's, it was like, I'm like, that's really, you know,
smart.
For now it would be so easy to do. But at that time I'm like, that took a lot of thinking and like planning.
Well, cause now they just put everybody on a fucking green suit and
yeah. Motion control camera.
Marvel sucks, dude. Let's face it. This was the time when you had to
just throw some tracking marks on it. It'll be fine,
dude.
No, I thought it was a great movie and full of surprises. I'm not going to spoil them because I think everyone should.
When it gets crazy, like at the end, bro.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, man.
It gets crazy. And like you said, things were scarier back then.
They were.
Even in, I mean, when did he write that book? I don't know.
Oh, I have it written actually. I have like
I think it's one again one of his earlier novels, right?
Yeah.
Maybe late 70s?
No, okay, here's another aspect about King. Is that usually when he wrote stuff, they would make it into a movie like the next year.
It's
like they're
really
waiting for him to do it. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, of course they are.
Cuz they're like, "Oh yeah, you wrote oh yeah.
What do you got? What do you got, King? What do you got for us?
What do you got coming out here? The Tommyknockers? We'll make it into a TV movie. Fuck it."
Okay, I haven't seen that.
1987 was Misery, so they must have shot it in fucking 89.
Oh, yeah.
Because it came out in 90.
Yeah.
Dude, they're waiting for him to fucking do things. They still are.
He's still writing.
He holds the record for most adapted
script.
For most adapted books, right?
For sure.
Dude, come on.
Who,
they're waiting for the guy. They're like, wait, hey.
There's no other writer maybe Agatha Christie. If they adapted every
L. Ron Hubbard. Not L. Ron Hubbard. Okay, Misery was fucking awesome.
Okay.
For any of you youngins out there who want some cool 90s movie, watch fucking Misery if you can find
it.
What did you find it on?
I rented it at Black Dog, but it's on
YouTube rentals?
I don't know. I didn't check there.
For all you youngins, there's this place. I know it's kind of a hard concept. It's called Black Dog Video. If you want, you can go rent it on DVD.
On digital video disc. We should start cranking this up because we've got lots to cover. I'm going to go with an obscure one that no one seemed to know when I was talking about it when we were shooting The Stand just recently, was a Stephen King thing.
I haven't read it or seen anything of it.
No.
But I know it exists.
I'm not talking about The Stand. We were on the stand, and I kept mentioning this other Stephen King, Christine.
Christine. Yeah, I've seen Christine.
People didn't know what the fuck I was talking about.
People are stupid.
Christine is a John Carpenter film.
Yes.
And I watched it recently. I watched it as a kid, and I rewatched it. And I found it was actually quite scary.
A car? Yeah. The fact that they made a car.
The premise is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but it worked.
But the way they shot it, because it's kind of about the car, but it's also kind of about the kid.
That's true. Yeah. Right? I haven't seen it in a long time, but yes.
So anyway, it's a 1958 Plymouth Fury, a real boat of a car.
It says it in the name.
And this kid finds it. I guess it's set in the late 70s, I think.
Yeah.
He sees it for sale. It's all beat up, and he fixes it up. But the car kind of has a mind of its own.
Totally, ooh, man. It's haunted.
But
haunted car.
The why it works is that the car kind of infects him as a person. So he starts acting really weird.
As people do.
I think that's what makes it scary. Because if it was just the car, it would be totally ridiculous.
You could say it was a social commentary on road rage of the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
How people nowadays are fucking losing their shit over nothing.
Yeah, they are.
But John Carpenter, great director.
I think so.
Awesome.
Although,
I've met him.
I watched The Fog.
Which one? The first one?
The John Carpenter one.
Nice.
Terrible.
Well.
Stupid.
Swing and a miss.
Swing and a miss. But I rented
the thing.
Because I was thinking about The Mist. Stephen King.
Oh.
And I rented The Fog.
Right.
Not Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mist, Fog, same thing. I'm going to write one called The Vapor.
Oh, my God. A horror movie about guys that vape.
Yep.
Formerly known as me.
Yeah,
Christine is also great. And you know what? The other part about this podcast, too, is when we were thinking about doing it, and I thought, oh, maybe we should save it for Halloween. But I feel like these movies are a little bit beyond Halloween.
Some of them are Halloween.
Esque.
Pet Sematary.
Sure.
Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
Neither of which I've seen.
Tales from the Dark Side. Creepshow
I wanted to rent.
Salem's Lot.
Looked fun.
I've never seen Salem's Lot. That apparently, Salem's Lot is Stephen King's favorite Stephen King movie.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
Not even the one he directed himself.
Which one did he direct himself?
Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, get out of town.
Oh, shit. That was my third trivia question.
See, I'm winning at the trivia part.
And I saw that a long time ago because I looked up. I was like, have I seen that? It looked familiar. And it's like Christine where all the
semi-trucks.
The trucks come alive and they're holding all these people hostage at a gas station.
Emilio Estevez, yeah. So good.
It's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
In a good way. In a good way.
It's not terrible. You know what was a terrible Stephen King movie? Those Sleepwalkers.
I didn't see that.
Not great. Not great. You know what was a great one, though?
What?
Have you seen Dolores Claiborne?
No.
I haven't
done another Kathy Bates film.
I know. I should watch that one. I know that was shot. Some people from Vancouver worked on that.
That one's very popular. That's like... in terms of Stephen King's movies.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so, another seen anything lately, just quickly. I just want to mention a movie that's out now on Netflix called 1922.
Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
Here's the thing. I start watching it. I didn't know it was shot here. Turns out it was shot here. Turns
really?
Out people that we know worked on it, a.k.a. John was the on-set dresser.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. And I'm watching it, and I'm like... Watching the credits, and I'm like, hey, fuck, I know that guy. John. At first, when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, man, this movie's great.
That's when you texted me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is really good.
Especially for Netflix, because, again, a lot of their features are complete garbage. But anyway, I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is great. This is actually quite good. Thomas Jane.
Yeah, I've worked with him multiple times.
Right, who John said is a total method actor.
Yeah.
Stays in character.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kinda.
He was great in it. He was great in it. What was the lady's name? Fuck, man.
Molly Parker.
Molly Parker was good. The kid was good. except for Neil McDonough was terrible in it for some reason, and I don't know
why. Oh, and I like him.
So do I, but in that, didn't like him. Hmm. But then as it went on, it kind of fizzled. That's all I'm gonna say. At first, I was like, what a great movie. They like, oh, it's just, you have to watch it. And then you're like, oh, that happens, and then this happens. But then the haunting part of it, the sort of madness that this man goes into,
yeah,
that still part of the story wasn't portrayed well enough, in my opinion. Anyways, moving on, because that's
too bad. Blip. I hate when that happens. And I found that, like, these 80s movies I've been watching, a lot of them are like that, where it's like, it's just a bunch of things that happen and then it ends.
Right.
I'm like, well but...
Nothing gets wrapped up.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay, do you want to talk about Stand By Me? We have talked about it before,
have
we not?
We have.
A few times.
I think we have. It's obviously a movie that you and I both hold dear to our hearts.
Well, it's the it's so good.
Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption, and Apt Pupil, which we haven't talked about, are all short stories of Stephen King's in a collection called Different Seasons. And there's a fourth story in that book, but I don't think that one's ever been adapted. Maybe it has. God. Maybe. It's definitely not famous, because Apt Pupil was hardly even... Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Ian McKellen?
Brad Renfro.
I actually really liked it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a great 90s movie.
And David Schwimmer is in it.
Is he really?
He's the teacher, the kid's high school teacher.
Oh my God.
And he's like, what's going on?
He's just Ross.
But yeah, basically.
In a different scenario.
But Ian McKellen is like...
He's awesome.
He's great in everything, right?
Do you know, funny story, one of my sister's theater friends... Not friends, but this girl, my sister knows. I'm not going to name names. Ian McKellen was in Granville Island having a beer by himself.
Oh, I think I heard this
story. Yeah, and the girl went up to him, and she's a real theater nerd, and she was like, oh my God, Sir Ian McKellen, what an honor to meet you, because he was here shooting X-Men, right?
Right, yeah.
So she walks up to him in the bar. Nobody knows it's him except for her. She walks up, and she goes, oh, Ian McKellen, you're such an amazing actor. Oh my God, because he's a big theater guy, right? She's like, I have a one-woman play that I've written, and I put my whole life into it. And she's like, can I do it for you? And he's like, absolutely.
Of course.
He watched her do the whole thing.
Like in the restaurant.
On a patio somewhere on Granville Island, yeah.
Amazing.
Isn't that fucking hilarious?
It's so
hilarious. I mean, is it 100% true? Yes. Did it actually happen? Of course it did. This is Vancouver, man.
That's got to be the new slug line for our show. Is it 100% true? Yes. Should we talk about It?
I think so.
Cool. Because I've never seen the Tim Curry one.
I have.
They shot that here.
Yes, they did.
They shot that in my old neighborhood in Burnaby,
yes,
actually.
They did. One of my friends was Henry Bauer. Oh. Is Henry Bowers. Yeah, Jared Blanchard, friend of mine.
Oh, wait, yeah, you told me that before.
Yeah, he kind of stopped acting after that, local guy. He stopped acting.
The thing is...
Lives in England now. Good guy.
See still frames or clips from that old version, I'm like, I don't think I could take it seriously.
It doesn't hold up, but it's still pretty good.
The new one
is pretty good,
too. I thought was really good.
I thought both of them were good.
I haven't seen the chapter two. Because I don't... That's not... He didn't write that. Stephen King didn't write that, did he?
Yeah. Well, they're all... The first one is half of it, and the second one is...
Oh.
But they've still adapted it. So the way Stephen King wrote it...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the way Stephen King wrote it, it's like...
So there's two parts to the book.
Well, because the adults are remembering this happening.
Oh,
so the first miniseries, it's long. Like, it's fucking...
So the
8 hours or six hours, okay, or something, right? So there, it's like a different way of the format. Like, they're remembering, oh, remember it, or they get a call, one of them dies or something, and then they all get a call about him, and they all like have this fuck panic because they haven't dealt with it.
Yeah.
So they have to go back and shit. So that's what the second one is.
Oh, I see. It's on my list because I love Jessica Chastain and Bill Hader's in it, and it looks like it's good.
It is, it's pretty good.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. The first movie, like with the kids, I kind of liked better.
Yeah,
Although it's like, if I have to see Finn Wolf, as much as I love Finn Wolfhard, it's like, can we just not have him in every kids movie that comes? You know what I mean?
Every 80s, like 70s thing. Yeah. Cause like, even
as much as I love the guy,
he's in the new Ghostbusters.
Good actor.
Yeah.
And even in the new It, he plays kind of the, like a different
version of Mike from Stranger Things.
But it worked. I thought it worked. Right.
Yeah.
Cause he's a kid and you got to give him a little bit of leeway. But it's like, hey, let's slow down on Finn Wolfhard a little bit so he doesn't become fucking Corey Haim.
Yeah, that's
although
true.
Although I loved Corey Haim.
That's true.
Till his final day. Anyway, it was fucking rad. Even the first one, it's super 8 or super 90s'd out in like a TV way.
Yeah.
But it's still a Stephen King story. So
right.
It's very interesting. And it's all about... I find the perspective of Stephen King really gets right. Like when he writes a book from the kid's perspective, mm-hmm. you can relate no matter what decade it's in, because we all remember trying to fit in or being bullied, or, you know, he really gets those parts right.
There are those universal truths that of growing up, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. it takes different forms for each person, but there's an overall like coming to terms with the planet that you're on and like your parents and
it was harsh. Like even in Stand By Me, we've talked about this numerous times. It's like, that's a sad story. And Stephen King in real life, his best friend growing up in Maine was run over by a freight
train. And he saw it, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was there. Like,
fucked him up. Yeah. Fucked up. Right. Jesus.
That would fuck you up.
But that's kind of what I love about him too, is you feel like you, when I was in New Brunswick, which mm-hmm. is right across the literally there's some towns that share a border with Maine.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a stone's throw away from where
the
Titanic
and I really
sank.
Wanted to go, but Kat didn't have a passport with her, I don't think. Or there was some reason why we didn't go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you could literally, like, in there's a town we were in where it's like you can see Maine. Like the other side of town is Maine, right? Is the States. And I feel like I've been here before. I feel like I know this place. And I honestly think it's because of Stephen King movies.
Well, yeah, because that's where he's from. And he sets a lot of his stories in Maine.
And if you can achieve that as a fucking author, and even when the films are, when your books are adapted, it's like, that's amazing that you can do that. You can make people feel like they grew up in fucking Maine. That was the first time I'd been there, mm-hmm. you know? So... I grew up in the exact opposite of Maine and the most boring part of the world. Jokes. Not really. Okay. What else? Dead Zone. Talk about it. I can't remember. I barely remember.
I just watched it. That was another one. That was an 80s. I liked it. It's Christopher Walken. So hard to miss there.
Yeah.
He is so Christopher Walken in that.
It's like
the pinnacle of Christopher Walken. I don't even want to do my bad Christopher Walken impression.
You know,
the ice is gonna break.
Everybody does.
Everyone does Christopher Walken.
You know who started it? Jay Moore.
Kevin Pollak does a really good Christopher
Kevin
Walken.
Kevin Pollak is a fucking underrated impression. That guy can do some impressions.
He does amazing impressions.
It's unreal. Like, and people don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
They're like, who the fuck's Kevin Pollak?
Yeah.
But you kind of have to do a bit of a deep dive to find him.
But Dead Zone, again, yeah. I was like, great premise. Martin Sheen also is in it. But it was like an 80s movie. It just kind of like meandered around and then ended.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, I love you, but we can't get married. I'm going to drive my Volkswagen Bug, and that was a milk truck, and I crashed, and it's like
sounding a little bit like that director, though.
Yeah, Sheldon,
the voice of God.
But it's just like, you know, he crashes, and then he wakes up, and then he's got this gift. It's like every other Stephen King thing is about telekinetic powers,
so which has been ripped off so many times. Like, do you think that George Lucas stole the Force from Stephen King?
No, because the Force isn't just about reading minds.
But it was about Carrie could move stuff. That was her thing. She had the Force. She did.
I don't know.
She could like
maybe
blow open doors and fucking start fires and shit.
Maybe.
I'm sure maybe somebody must popularize have it. Somebody must have written that type of stuff before.
But that kind of supernatural stuff has been in the lore. Like vampires are supposed to be able to do that kind of stuff. Vampires also sparkle in the sun. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah. Here's another Stephen King tidbit of info. He really likes, because they asked him about other books.
Yeah.
And when they asked
Twilight?
Him, no, he really likes Harry Potter.
Okay.
Oh, because they were talking to him about other super successful authors.
Yeah.
And they were like, what do you think of J.K. Rowling? And he was like, oh, great, great, great. Yeah, Harry Potter is awesome. And you know, what an amazing writer she is. And then they asked him about Twilight and Stephanie Myers. And he was like, no, that's terrible. He goes, the only thing Twilight's made it seem is that it's important to have a boyfriend. And I don't believe that.
Nice.
I know. Just totally like shut it down. Like not even a thought. Stephanie Myers like, ooh. She knows, though.
Oh, she doesn't care. She's loaded.
Exactly.
I wonder if him and Michael Crichton were buddies.
Well, they must know each other.
Well, Michael Crichton's dead.
Oh, they must have known each other.
They must have, because they were both...
When did Crichton die?
Mid-2000s.
What happened to him?
I don't remember.
Eaten by a dinosaur? Bad joke.
Oh, bad joke.
Was it too soon, though? Mid-2000s? It's 20 years ago,
almost. Yeah, okay.
Still,
I read a lot of his books growing up.
What were the other ones? There was Jurassic Park,
Sphere, Congo.
Oh, Congo, another hit 90s movie.
Eaters of the Dead.
Was it? Another hit 90s movie.
Andromeda Strain.
Another
timeline
movie shot here. How many Michael Crichton movies
I'm
have
listing
been done
these off my head, off the top of my head, by the way. And now I can't remember anymore.
What was the one about who's that guy who writes the Rainbow Six and all that shit?
Tom Clancy.
Tom fucking Clancy, dude.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
That sounds like a mechanic's name.
He wrote the Jack Reacher books. Oh. Or no. Jack Reacher or the one that the guy from The Office is doing on Amazon Prime.
Oh, John, fuck.
You know the one I'm talking about. The analyst.
His name, dude?
Anyway, that's all. I think that's all Tom Clancy.
Okay, we have to find out, though. You ramble for a sec. Somebody out there right now listening is going to be like, you know, fucking.
Yeah.
is it not Jack Reacher? No, that's Tom Cruise.
That's the Tom Cruise
Jack
movie,
Ryan.
Right? Jack Ryan.
What's the difference?
Nothing.
What is the fucking
nothing.
Difference There's between no difference. All this bullshit?
There's no difference. But the
James
but
Bond,
that,
Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan, Jack Reacher, Jack fucking. Jumping Jack Flash. Like, who gives a fuck? About these stupid CIA bullshit movies, man. Hate them.
Jack Ryan was...
Tom Cruise. No. Okay.
No,
sorry.
No. So that's a new series with John
Krasinski
on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
But that character is also the character that gets sent to the Red October. The Hunt for Red October, also written by Tom Clancy. That's the same character.
Oh.
Because he's not a military guy. He's an analyst.
Okay.
Because when I watched Hunt for Red October recently, they're like, yeah, Jack Ryan. He's like, I'm a CIA analyst. I'm like, isn't that the premise of that new show?
Oh,
and then I put
God,
it together.
Man.
I'm like, oh, it is.
You're
it's
like,
all,
it is the premise
is fucking
of the new show.
Tom Clancy. So there you go. It's all been done before.
That stuff just makes my eyes glaze the fuck over.
I know, but I still think you would enjoy the first Bourne Identity. Movie.
Do you want me to watch it and then do you want to do an episode just about that?
About that one movie
and
why you hate it?
Or why I love it. You don't know. Right now it's the fucking Schrodinger's cat.
But I think that, no, it's not though, because if I tell you that you're going to love it, you're going to instinctively want to not like it.
You know me. I don't do that. You know me. I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm more of the, you know what I loved about fucking Jurassic Park 2?
What?
Not Jurassic Park 2, but Jurassic
also.
Park 1 also is the part I forgot. Oh, I love it about when Jeff Goldblum, the fucking figurine that I gave you or that
yeah.
cat gave
yes.
you. What's his name in the
Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Ian Malcolm. When he's talking to Laura Dern about chaos
in the car.
Love it.
I love that scene.
What a great piece of writing and what a great
a good performance of
love
it,
too. Love it, dude.
Well, that chaos theory in
I
the
love that
in
chaos
the book
theory.
It's a huge component.
Right.
It's a huge component to the story about
because
how you can't predict what's going to happen.
And that scenario of playing God mm-hmm. and recreating beasts that have been what a fucking aspect of a movie that so many movies don't do things like that now.
Yeah.
They're leaving out these like parts, these things that tie it all together and makes people think. That's what new movies, we'll say Marvel movies, do not do.
Right? And Spielberg's really good because his movies always have a little bit of that. I feel like there's always a little expository dialogue that doesn't seem like expository dialogue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what I want.
See, I'm right again. No one could predict that Dr. Alan Grant would jump out of a moving vehicle.
Also, you know what? Exactly. Oh, look, and here she goes. Another one.
And now I'm sitting here talking to myself. That's chaos theory. So good.
And you know what I love? Is that for anybody who's out there who either does work in film or doesn't work in film, a film set is chaos theory.
It's chaos theory.
Put into a fucking studio or whatever you want to call it.
It's always a controlled experiment every time.
Every time. Every time we do a scene.
You get a sheet, which is your hypothesis.
Exactly.
And it's like, this is what we expect to happen. And it never does.
We just cracked the fucking code, dude. Like, we actually did.
That's what my rap math sketch was about.
People love that fucking
rap math sketch. It's chaos theory. It's like people are trying to predict when we're going to rap. It's like,
you can't.
There are too many. It's zero theorem.
And even people trying to predict how it's going to go. That's my favorite is people go, no, well, the director's going to do this and they're going to do that. And then this is going to happen and that's going to happen. It's like,
it's going to be a crane shot for sure. Shut up. You don't know that. You can't know that.
And it's the perfect blueprint.
And it's the best defense is to just not think about it.
No, and just to fucking just flail.
Like for, sometimes you got to just flail.
You're like one of those, you know what I mean? The components of the fucking, the atomic structure. You know what I mean? It's like you're just a flailing aspect of it. And sometimes you hit and sometimes you miss. That's we just cracked the code.
It's true.
Anyways, we are fucking way off topic.
Look out for our new book. It's called Splitting Atoms, The Guide to Successful Film Careers.
That was actually a Nickelodeon movie that I worked on.
Yeah, I remember that.
Not joking.
I remember when they were shooting that.
And I thought that the title was a little inappropriate for what it was about. But anyways, moving on.
Should we talk about Carrie? Because you mentioned it. Ripping off the Force. Or no, the Force ripping off Carrie.
Sure.
I rented it and it's sitting over there by Kat and I haven't watched it.
It holds up.
Does it?
Yeah.
The Sissy Spacek one?
She's great in it. She's also terrifying just the way she looks in it. Mm. Like she just, you know how Sissy Spacek kind of has those giant eyes and it's that relatable Stephen King story that makes you feel like you are her.
Right.
And she's being bullied and her mom is a complete psychopath and all she, like you feel for these characters, man. Mm-hmm. You feel for them.
Yeah.
It's not like these regular ass shows now where you're like, I could care less what happens to that person.
Oh, I know.
In these movies and these stories, you're like, oh no, Carrie, like all she wants is just to go to the prom and to have a fun night, you know? And John Travolta plays a bully and stuff in it. It's crazy.
Weird.
Oh, and it's so bad at the end what happens, like.
I've seen,
and then the again, it's scene. Just complete fucking chaos, and then it just fucking like it doesn't end. You know, you have to watch it. It holds up.
Oh, I'm going to.
It holds up for everyone out there. Carrie, the original, not the stupid fucking remake.
There's been two other remakes.
Was there two?
Yeah, I went to the video store, and there's three Carries. God.
When was there was one in like recently, wasn't there? Like 2015 or something.
Hang on, let me look. Yeah, there was one like mid 2000s. Okay, so it's 1976.
Yeah.
Then there's a 2013 one.
Yeah.
I think there's one other one. 2002.
What? The fuck was that one? Yeah. Who was in that one? Alyssa Milano? Yasmin Bleeth? Let's start naming late 90s fucking people.
Nobody I know it. Like, nobody I recognize.
Elizabeth.
Maybe it was made for TV.
Daryl Hannah. Dude, that would have been good if she was in it, probably.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anywho's.
Okay, what haven't we talked about?
I don't know. There's so many. Pet Cemetery. Let's just do a quick.
Hearts in Atlantis. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that. Have you?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, if you can believe it.
Good?
I liked it.
I mean, it's probably a good story.
At the time, I was like, meh.
Have you seen Dreamcatcher?
No. Oh, that was one.
That was shot here.
Yeah, that was one. I remember Prince when that George. Came out, and I think maybe I have seen
it. It's fucking bizarre, dude. It's like classic it's like Bizarro woods, right? King. Like when King's like, you know what? I'm just going to like make something like where like this guy's like. Have you, dude, that book is so weird, man. That's my impression of Stephen King just getting crazy. I'm just going to write this thing about how like they shit out these monsters and like we'll call them shit weasels. We'll call them shit weasels. And then you're reading the book and you're like, oh, they actually did call them that in the book. Like he just gets so wacky sometimes. It's the same thing with Dr. Sleep.
Again, I haven't seen that.
It's good, but again, it's like gets kind of wacky King, like where he can just tell he's just bored with himself and he just starts right. like, oh, like this is so wacky. And he's it's like,
what if?
Yeah. And the woman who plays the female in that movie, the female lead is just so strange. Oh, it's a strange little movie, but it was good. I kind of liked it. I kind of like it when he does that, wacky as it is.
We haven't talked about Green Mile.
Oh yeah. Fuck. Classic.
So I think it's the same director as Shawshank.
Wasn't it?
Green Mile, yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't, it should have been.
It has the same mood, which I think that whatever that tone is that Shawshank has.
Do you think Tom Hanks saw Shawshank and then he got offered Green Mile and he's like, yeah, I probably should do this.
Yeah, it is the same director.
Who was it?
Frank Darabont.
Frank Darabont, of course.
Oh, he also did. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm looking at writing. Fuck. Come on.
Well, still.
I got to fact check myself. Oh, no, though. No, he directed both.
Yeah. And adapted both, Frank Darabont?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got...
These guys are all good at what they did.
Whatever the tone is that, like, I don't know, you know, whatever label you want to put on it, but that's the tone of Stephen King, I feel.
Again, it's the storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. It's the story...
I don't like how that you je ne sais quoi. Yeah.
It really works. And Michael Clarke Duncan, that was his great breakout performance. Mm-hmm. He was so good in it. Mm-hmm. Remember, like, I just remember thinking that guy was so huge, which he was.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people in this movie that I like. Grant Green.
He was in a ton of movies.
Sam Rockwell, right probably then. A breakout for him too. Barry Pepper.
Sam Rockwell was, who was he?
Yeah, he was Wild Bill Wharton. Oh. You don't remember that?
Barry Pepper, yeah.
I haven't seen it since fucking 90-something. But it's one of those movies you don't forget, man.
Damn.
Good Loved movie. It. Oh, good okay. Movie. Is there any that we're missing?
Well, I was going to talk about The Dark Tower.
We should just quickly.
Did you see the movie?
No, but my buddies all read that book. By that time, like, I wasn't, you know, I've read a few King books, but like my buddies were right into it.
Ingrid Canning, script supervisor, would, if she listened to this and I didn't mention her love of the Dark Tower books.
That people love those books.
She would be so mad at me because she was raving about them on set.
People loved those books.
She said, Clayton, you got to read those books.
My buddies, they talked about Dark Tower. They would wait like for the next one. Like they were like, oh, it's coming out. You know, they knew the dates. And
there's a bunch.
There's like five of them, isn't there?
More.
Really?
I think there's at least eight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So then they made it into a movie and it was terrible.
I actually liked the movie.
Did you?
Well, without having read the book. So really? I think that's where the hate comes from.
Oh, because I've never seen it. So maybe I should watch it too. Matthew McConaughey, right?
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
Idris Elba?
Yeah, and Idris Elba. I thought Matthew McConaughey was really good as the antagonist, which I think is Randall Flagg, who is like a constant antagonist.
Oh.
He's in The Stand.
His name's spelled the same way as yours?
Same as mine.
Interesting.
So that's probably why I like it. But I thought his performance was really good because I've never seen him as a villain in anything.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him as like a dick.
Like I thought Matthew McConaughey was like the devil or something.
That's Randall Flagg is his like, he's like the devil personified, but he's not really the devil.
Right.
He's just like the agent of evil. It's sort of ambiguous on purpose, you know?
Which again, awesome. Stephen King's shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're like, is that the devil? I don't know. It's just like a weird guy. Like
supernatural, biblical kind of stuff.
Love it.
But I thought Matthew McConaughey nailed it. Like, I was like, oh, it's so... And they made him really sweaty all the time, which I was like...
Well, that's where that smoking meme... You've seen that meme, right? That was born under that movie where it's him sucking on a cigarette really intensely. And it's like me after I find out that my car has high octane gas or, you know, whatever, like something that you find out or whatever. There's all these memes about him sucking on that cigarette because he's all thin and he's like, like just so intense.
I thought it was a great performance by him.
He's a good actor, man.
He is.
Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
Although I didn't like Dallas Buyers Club because of Jared Leto. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I did like the Dallas Buyers Club. I do not like Jared Leto.
No.
That's another podcast.
What was that meme that they were like, oh, there's in the new Joker, they were like, there's a Jared Leto Easter egg. And it's just like a pile of trash that's circled.
You know I love that. You know I love that bit. And that's why I don't like the guy, is mostly because of that.
What? That other people don't like him?
I've heard from inside people, not going to name names.
No.
And just, you know, heard different things, right?
Yeah.
And from that, and I've heard lots of different things about him. And none of them are good. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that about the Joker, and I was like, what a loser. Like, he actually tried to, like, not have that movie made somehow.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Check yourself.
And get lost. And that was like the only fucking superhero movie that I really truly enjoyed in the last.
The Joaquin Phoenix Joker. Yeah. I liked it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like since Batman versus Superman.
So.
Dude, they're so bad.
Wonder Woman 84 is coming out so soon. Bad.
Although, yeah. I'm gonna go see it. I enjoyed that first one.
I liked Wonder Woman.
I have to go see movies with her, with Kat. Kat's here for everybody who doesn't know. She's in playing Legos. But if I go see a superhero movie with her, then I'm like, yeah, it wasn't bad. If I go see it on my own time, I'm like, this is terrible. So maybe that's just the connection of like the kid thing, like, I guess.
Well,
Wonder Woman was a good movie, though. It was a good, well-done film.
I don't think those movies are made for us.
They're not.
Like our demographic.
Definitely not me.
But you're 37, that's not, I'm no, over that's 40 not now. True because there's like guys that are in their late 40s that love those movies because they grew up with the comic books.
I guess so.
They're like, oh, I just love when the Hulk says the thing to Thor. It's the best when Iron Man is with Captain
They're
America.
Like comic book men. Right?
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
But Aquaman, you cannot marry her. You're from two different worlds. Do you remember that?
Are you the creator of High and Lois? Because I'm, what did he say? I'm laughing right now. So good, dude. I've been watching a lot of Simpsons lately. Okay, way off topic, though.
Need no star, R.M. Pick. That's from the Radioactive Man movie.
Have you ever seen, okay, so a quick little tidbit about Stephen King, though.
Okay.
He was in a bat. He got hit by a car. Remember that?
Really? No.
Yeah, he got hit by a van.
When was that?
99.
Oh.
Broke his ribs. God. He was in the hospital for a long time. Jeez. He bought the van from the guy who hit him with it, and he, like, beat it down.
Really?
Like, with a crowbar. Yeah. He bought it.
That's awesome.
He's so funny, man.
That's badass.
He fucking hates, I'm not going to name names, but he hates certain people in politics.
Oh, yeah.
We never get political on this show.
Never,
usually.
No.
But Stephen King is like a very vocal opponent of such.
That's hilarious that he beat up that van.
Yeah, he bought it and beat it down. I mean, dude, hilarious. You gotta love that guy, man.
Hilarious.
I mean, I wish we could. You could do a podcast that where you just talk about his movies and his books.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hardcore Boston Red Sox fan too. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
Boston, eh?
Anybody from Maine is a hardcore Boston.
Boston is sort of
that's their spot.
Capital city of New England, right?
Yeah, he bought the car. He wrote a musical with, this is a little rapid fire round of Stephen King's songs. He wrote a musical with John Cougar Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah?
That did get made. Ghost Brothers of Darkland County, it was called.
Yeah.
Debuted in 2012. What a great, his sons are both writers. He puts an offer out for aspiring filmmakers and they can buy the rights to his short stories for a dollar.
I've heard about that. Yeah. That's been like a long-standing thing because I heard about that when I was in film school.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You want to make the fourth one from that book that never got made yet?
For $1.
Be like, Stephen King, we'll give you a shiny loony.
And some Propscast stickers.
And 23 cents or whatever it works out to be. Yeah, and he still writes with a fountain pen.
I've heard of that too.
And he received a fucking lifetime award from the National Book Awards. And a Harold Bloom, who's like a famous critic, was like, the decision to give the National Book Foundation's annual award to Stephen King is extraordinary. Another low in a shocking process of dumbing down our cultural life. Because this guy was like some fucking poo-poo guy.
Snooty-tooty.
And totally. And he's like, I've described King in the past as a writer of penny dreadfuls. What a tit, just by saying that. Penny dreadful. Like, fuck off, man. But perhaps even that is too kind. He shares nothing with Edgar Allan Poe. What he is an immensely inadequate writer on a sentence-by-sentence, paragraph-by-paragraph, book-by-book basis.
Nice.
Jealous much?
Hey guy, bro. How many books have you written?
Exactly,
he's
dude.
He's probably written like 80 books.
He probably has this guy.
That are like, ooh, what's his name? Harold Bloom?
Yeah.
The new Harold Bloom volume is quite something.
Rather.
Rather. It's quite.
I don't even want to look him up. Dude, you don't diss the greatest author of our generation like that.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Whatever, man. Okay, moving on.
He was probably too scared to finish Carrie.
Oh, since the publication of Carrie in 1974, Stephen King's books have never gone out of print to this day.
Boom.
Pretty crazy though, right?
Quite. What a career.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, now I feel exhausted and we didn't even do half of his shit.
Me too. I know. That's just the most popular ones. There's like three.
Hold on.
Three times as many that we didn't talk about.
I have some trivia questions for you quickly.
Okay, well, I've done all mine, so.
I know, but this is why it's gonna be fun.
Hit me up.
Okay.
And then we gotta go.
What was the name of Gordy's older brother in Stand By Me?
Oh God.
I'll give you a hint. Gordy's name was Gordy LaChance. And his brother's name was something LaChance.
Dylan LaChance?
Close.
What was it? Darren?
Dennis. But everybody called him Danny. Danny LaChance. Hey, are you Danny LaChance's brother?
That's it.
Yeah. You kind of look like him. What? You look like him. That's a scene when he's buying the food. What was the name of the hotel in The Shining?
The Overlook Hotel.
Boom! I almost wanted to say the Overlander, but you're right, it is the Overlook. In the movie... Oh, I already got that. I already did that one too. In the movie Carrie, what type of blood was poured all over her head at prom?
Pig's blood.
Nice.
I haven't even seen it.
And you know that, though, because that is an archetype.
Yeah.
Do you know how many archetypes Stephen King has fucking come up with, dude?
I don't know if it's an archetype.
Well, it is, because he fucking created this shit. Even that in itself. Like,
I don't
think... The prom queen being embarrassed at a fucking...
Oh, you know, I see what you mean.
Like that kind of shit.
I thought you were talking about specifically pig's blood.
No. Just like the archetypes of like storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What 90s teen star?
Wait, how many questions are these?
Just two more.
Okay.
Like 20 more, dude. It's fine. What 90s teen star had the lead role in Pet Sematary 2?
Oh, God. Pet Sematary 2?
Yeah.
Who's going to know that?
Everybody.
90s teen Some star? People. Sarah Michelle Gellar?
No, male. I'll give you a hint.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
John Connor, jump into the chopper now, you must.
Who's that? Who is that?
John Connor, dude.
John Connor?
Yeah.
Who
90s played? Teen star who
know.
Played John
I don't
Connor.
Know. Just say the name.
Edward Furlong.
Okay, great.
Come on, you don't... Dude, you've seen Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yes, but I don't remember the actor's name.
What?
I was annoyed by the kid. In Terminator 2.
Because he was such an ungrateful fucking punk.
Yeah.
And all he wanted to do was like smoke and not save the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. But then Edward Furlong was a pretty good actor.
Fuck the world. I just want to smoke. That's a line.
Listen to my Walkman, listen to a tape. Okay, what was Andy Dufresne's favorite activity to do in the prison yard?
Dumping out the chunks of sand that he was digging out of the wall at nighttime.
Some say it took him damn near 20 years.
All the water found was a rock hammer worn down to the nub.
It was. Remember, there's a picture of the guy holding it?
Yeah, in the newspaper.
In the newspaper.
That,
and they wore down that fucking nub for that.
That whole montage when the warden, when they finally find out that he's missing, and you're right. Like, oh my God. That shot where he rips the poster out and then the camera just pulls so back good. Down the tunnel. And you're like, oh, he did it.
And he takes one of those rocks and he just throws it and it goes right through. Fuck. See, only Stephen King can write that kind of magic, dude. Let's be real about it.
So good.
Let's be honest about it.
The warden shoots himself.
I mean, if you think about it, Shawshank Redemption, it, like we were saying before, that's number one on many, many, many lists. Mm-hmm. And Stephen King, who we've been just doing a whole hour and a half on his accolades, he wrote that fucking story, right?
And it was a short story, which may be why that's so successful, because they can really extrapolate it into a feature film rather than compress it, which never works.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe the short stories are better.
It's like a can of that concentrated juice that we were talking about.
Yeah, the fucking
And you can just add enough water to make it exactly what you want.
Did you ever just eat it with a spoon?
Of course.
Just pull that fucking metal top off and just eat that shit.
Ooh.
So sweet. Yeah. Especially the Minute Maid fruit punch one. God, that was sweet. Okay, bro.
That's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Talking about concentrated juice. Hey, thanks for everybody. I keep saying thanks for everybody.
But you know what? Thanks for everybody.
I do that all the time.
Thanks
to everybody for listening. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back just shooting the shit off the cuff.
Mm. It's nice and easy breezy, beautiful cover girl compared to the last episode.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Remember how frustrated we were getting sometimes recording? Like doing takes?
Dude, that one that we cut out.
It was like being at work, but more fun.
We cut out this one that I was trying to get through.
Jordy wrote
I was so hot.
Homer's Odyssey.
And bothered.
And we recorded it twice and it just wasn't going to work.
No, it was too
I'm long. So sorry. I feel really bad about it.
Why?
I think we can do something with it like further down the road.
We can do whatever we want, man.
We can work on it.
We play God in here. You know what I mean?
We've opened the doors for so many possibilities now.
Absolutely.
We can't put those worms back in that can.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Dr. Grant, my dear Dr. Sadler.
We spared no expense. How many times does he say that?
He did it.
15?
The crazy son of a bitch, he did it. Oh, yeah.
We're going to make a fortune off this place. That lawyer?
Yeah. God. Gennaro.
What a great movie. Anyways.
We'll have a coupon day or something. Yeah. Just like, what a slimy fuck. And then you're so happy that he gets eaten off the toilet.
They don't make them like that anymore.
Damn. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks to Amanda for our graphics and Uncle Dan.
Always.
For our music. And also, Uncle Dan, his band Fear of Houses, you can find his music on Spotify if you're listening to our show on Spotify.
And Apple Music,
too. Yeah, and Apple Music. Yeah. Check it out because it's really, really good.
Yep.
I'm like a big fan, actually.
Yeah, they're great.
I've been listening to his album. Like,
it's just him and one other guy, I think.
Is it?
I believe so.
Oh, damn.
They just do all the parts. Like, I don't think they can do that live.
I've had a few people ask me about Fear of Houses. So check it out. Check them out on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, that wasn't live.
It sounded like it, though, didn't it?
Yeah, we made it.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Shawshank Redemption.